Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Sister Fola. I apologize for not coming in on time. We're doing a repeat show about 8 months ago in reference to the 1040 forms. So I'm going to go ahead and play the music and then start the show. So we will be with you next Sunday. We're out of town, and we still wanted to do a prior show. So enjoy, and hopefully this show will be able to help those that haven't heard it before. If you did hear it before, then you will be able to go back and review. Always giving honor to the Creator, Yahweh, and our ancestors. Let them continue to watch over us, continue to give us abundance, continue to guide and direct us 24/7. So for now, enjoy the show, and we'll see you next Sunday. Peace.
Wrong show.
Seven times. I don't know what dear brother Malcolm saw.
in Mecca, and it's a sight to behold. Malcolm sent these postcards back to civil rights people, and it's a sight to behold. Here I am, sleeping on the same mat, eating from the same dish, drinking from the same cup, with men whose hair and brain, with men whose hair is the blondest of blonde, did he say it? Whose skin is the whitest of white, did he say it? Whose eyes are the bluest of blue, did he say it? This proves that this can be done. He said there are men here in Mecca who would be considered white men anywhere in the world, but because they have Islam, Islam has changed it. And I believe that if the white man in America, Malcolm said, could get Islam, that Islam would change the white man. Oh, dear brother Malcolm, may you rest in peace and be thankful for the contribution that you made to our onward advancement and toward our mobility toward freedom and liberation, freedom and independence and liberation and salvation of the black nation. Thou must disagree with you, Malcolm. I don't know what you mean. I saw racism in Mecca. I saw hatred in Mecca. I'm telling you what I saw. I saw racism and hatred in Mecca so thick until you could cut it with a knife. I saw nasty, white, dirty camel breath, desert Arabs who just got a little oil a few days ago, and a few millions and a few billions that don't even belong to them. I read Chancellor William. Chancellor William in his book, The Destruction of Black Civilization, say that those areas change from black to brown to white. And so we take the side with the Palestinians. Now, but the real land question ain't been raised yet. Real land question ain't with no Palestinians. The real land question ain't with no Jews. The real land question is between them together and me and you. It's our goddamn land that they say. Change from black to brown to white. I saw old, I saw elder, I saw black, purple, black, blue, velvet, this elder, that's 80, 90 years old, somebody might have saw them, their wraps up, I saw them adorned, I saw them with their Islam garments on, I saw them come to make the sacred pilgrimage to Mecca and to recite the word on the road to Mecca. The Baker, Allahumma labek, the Baker, Allahumma labek. Here I come, O, here I come in thy august presence. I saw them in the mitar of the airport, some of them with their little food. They didn't want to eat the devil's food. They didn't want to eat the white man's food. And many of us have to take our own food and water when we go on a journey. And I saw them with their food in the airport, and I saw these dirty, nasty, so-called Arabs run up to them. The elder woman, I saw one of them, I pushed a few around. Just got to. They went to her sister, looked like she's in her 80s or her 90s. Nigeria, which is generally the biggest delegation to Hajj. And now they have placed some restrictions on the Nigerian blue-black delegation. So you're going to place restrictions on the people's religious rights. That's one of the five pillars of their faith to make the sacred pilgrimage respect. I saw him run over to her and snatch her up, shake her and tell her, trying to tell her in Arabic that she couldn't have this, bring this food from the airport into the country. I ran to him and damn near knocked him down and grabbed him, snatched him up, hung him on the wall like you hang a goddamn picture in the wall, and held him up. I didn't speak Arabic, but I said, that's my grandmother there. Whether I know her name or not, that's my flesh and blood. That's my kith and kin. That's my grandmother. She's touched of my flesh, blood of my blood. air. Steptoe went over, put my arms around her, got on the floor with help. All of your lives. Some of them that's going to die. They were die. And only that turned away or just treated being of home
right.
Within the sacred priesthood. And anywhere near what it's called harm's reach. And so, there were sometimes they passed time for their ticket to leave. Come out in the streets with bread in their bones. But our robe and they go among our people and take the robe and throw the bread up in the air and let it hit the dirt and hit the ground. Our people scurry on the ground, pick the bread up from the dirt. But instead, spending our oil money on a daily and consistent daily basis. What look like ghetto, but he put up. In Arabic, they got names. Kerajera. I guess that's bigger nigga. Some of them actually make the word obeyed into a profane word. Obeyed in a religious sense means that you are the servant of the Most. They call us obeyed in Mexico. Some of the arrogant ones that show their arrogance is open. Call us a baby. These slaves. These are slaves. And they're quick to say, Salam alaikum. I am so glad you are from America and you have accepted our religion. In fact, accepted your religion? And you tell me, Malcolm, if you tell me what you mean when you're talking about universal brotherhood, I wouldn't pass over a black man pissing drunk in the street or a crackhead in the street. I wouldn't pass over one of them to get you an Arab. Never would I do that. An Arab who has been, an Arab who has had the kalima, an Arab who has taken the shahada.
Right.
Grandpa.
I can do something, Grandpa?
Well, when you have COPD. Are you? Ain't got nothing to do with no Holy Quran. Ain't got nothing to do with no city called Mecca. He called you Muslim, righteous by nature. Because before there was a Quran, you were righteous by nature. Before there was a holy city Mecca, you were a Muslim and righteous by nature. You weren't just making a holy pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca. Making holy pilgrimages to the sacred in the holy city of Abidjan. You were making sacred pilgrimages to Elohim Fang. You were making the sacred pilgrimage all over the key points of Africa. And you understood the one God. Call the one God, even in the feminine or in the masculine, by different names. But you always said the one God, long before there was a prophet, of Allah. And that's the crossroads. In my life, there are things that I cannot forget and I cannot put down. I believe with all of my heart that the white man is the devil, and I must seek that he is the devil. I cannot back down from that. I must think that he is the devil. All things that do so alive, whether you like me or not, whether you accept me or not, whether you condemn me or not, whether you suspend me or not, the goddamn white man is the devil, and I will teach you from the cradle to the grave. Always. Because I know that you are a fickle people. I know that you are a flip-flop, wishy-washy people. I know that you are different strokes for different folks, but it's different ways on different days. Oh, yes. God damn it, if somebody don't continue to remind you, stand up with Susie Ron Wickle on your arm. Yes, you will. Okay, sister, you don't try to come in here with Bob. Someone try to come in here with murder. With Doug. God damn it, Doug. Dad, come in. Cindy. Kathy. Keep Heather the hell out of here. No one's ever in here. Hell no. This is the flame. Oh, why does Brother Halston Maddox see the name slave on it? Because, goddammit, we're still in the land of our bondage. We're still in the land of captivity. We're still a slave to the Democratic Party. Still a slave to the Republican Party. You can't even see a freedom fight. You don't see it? I'm a slave. That's the attempted slave. Never get free. The first thing a slave must do is admit I'm in bondage, admit I'm in captivity, admit that I'm a slave and Giuliani is a slave master, admit that I'm a slave and Clinton is a slave master, admit that I'm a slave and Cuomo is a slave master. That's the only way you can get free. Stop walking around acting hypocrite.
As a kid, you loved spending summers here. Now, you can live here all year long. When the best parts of your past become the foundation for your future, we are here for you.
Used Car Gurus runs the numbers on millions of listings every day to help you discover great deals.
226 years ago this day, George Washington readied himself for the first ever presidential inauguration to take place the following day, the day that America as we know it came into existence with the president's hand resting on the word of God. That day would conclude with America's first government gathering in prayer to dedicate the nation's future to God. A century and a half earlier, another seminal event took place on the same day. On April 29, 1607, the voyagers on the Susan Sontag, the Discovery, and the Godspeed gathered together in prayer at Cape Henry to set a wooden cross in the sands of Virginia Beach and to dedicate the new civilization to the will and the purposes of God. America's biblical foundation would be affirmed and reaffirmed over and over again by its forefathers, from the Pilgrims of the Mayflower to the Puritans of Massachusetts Bay to the leaders of the first American colonies who declared publicly and in writing that the new Commonwealth had come into existence solely for the glory and purposes of God. No historian can rewrite that. No president can expunge that. And if 1,000 angels swore in 1,000 Bibles that this was not the case, it would in no way alter the fact that this American civilization was conceived, established, dedicated, and founded on a biblical cornerstone. America was brought into existence for the will and the purpose of God. On this night, over 200 years ago, George Washington held in his hand the first ever presidential address. And that address was a prophetic warning. It was this: the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself hath ordained. In other words, if America should ever turn away from God and his ways, if it should ever disregard his eternal rules of order and right, then his blessings, the smiles of heaven, would be removed from the land. It was an ancient warning. It had been given in Hebrew words by the prophets to the kingdom of Israel. But Israel turned away from God and disregarded his eternal rules of order and right. They drove God out of their government, out of their public squares, out of their culture, out of the lives of their children. They worshipped idols and served other gods. They celebrated immorality and they persecuted righteousness. They lifted up their children on the altars of foreign gods. And the blessings of God were removed from the land and replaced with judgment. It is 2,500 years later, and America has made the same mistake. We too have turned away from God. We too have driven him out of the government, out of our public square, out of our culture, out of the lives of our children. We too have profaned the sacred and sanctified the profane. And we too have killed our most innocent, over 55 million of our unborn children, and our collective hands are covered with blood. What we were warned never to do, we now have done. The Supreme Court opens its sessions with the words, "God save the United States and this honorable court." But if this honorable court should overrule the word of God and strike down the eternal rules of order and right that heaven itself has ordained, how then will God save it? Supreme Court justices, can you judge the ways of God? Can you, with man-made verdicts, overrule the eternal laws of God? There is another court and there is another judge, and before him all men and all judges will give account. If a nation's high court should pass judgment on the Almighty, should you then be surprised that the Almighty should pass judgment on the court and that nation? In the book of Jeremiah, it's written, "Has a nation ever exchanged its God? Yet my people have exchanged their glory for that which cannot help them. Let us not pretend as to what we are now doing. We are doing that which Israel did on the altars of Baal. We are exchanging our God for idols, our light for darkness, and our glory for that which cannot save us. Are we ready to risk that which comes on the other side of that exchange, the day when the blessings of heaven are removed from the land?" Mr. President, with all respect that is due, what happens if one assumes the presidency by placing his left hand on the word of God, and then with his right hand enacts laws that war against the very same word of God on which he laid his hand? Such an act invokes the judgment of the Almighty. To swear an oath on the word of God on which it's written, "Defend the weak and do not murder," and then to not defend the weak, to not protect the unborn, but instead to advance their murder, is to invoke the judgment of the Almighty. To swear an oath on the word of God in which it's written, "Do not cause your brother to stumble," and then to seek to force those who uphold the word of God to transgress the word of God by partaking in the killing of the unborn and the celebration of sin, is to invoke the judgment of the Almighty. And to swear an oath on the word of God in which it's written, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people," and then to take part in the leading of a nation away from the eternal rules of order and right that heaven itself hath ordained and against the very word of God on which you laid your hand, is to invoke the judgment of the Almighty. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence. And from this high place we make this declaration. We will not bow down our knees to Baal. We will not bow down our knees to political correctness. We will not bow down our knees to a morality that is as shifting as sand in the wind. We will not bow down our knees to the laws and precepts of rebellion or the sacred vows of moral apostasy. We will not bow down our knees to the idols of man. We will not bow down to Baal. We will bow down our knees only to the Lord our God, come what may, and we will have no other gods before him. For some trust in chariots, some trust in princes, some trust in Supreme Courts, some trust in White Houses, some trust in governments, some trust in Wall Street, some trust in powers, and some trust in idols. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, in the name above all names, above all kings, above all powers. We will trust in the only name given by which we can be saved. We will trust in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Judge of all judges, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, the foundation stone upon which this nation came into existence, and the only answer, the only chance, and the only hope that America has, that it might once again shine with the light of the fire of the presence of the glory of the living God and not go to hell. So help us, God. Thank you.
The Hidden TV Simmons $100 Bill by Vic Spear, read by Tim Sprague. First of all, I must admit that I am one of those conspiracy nuts who loves to reach into the back of the United States $1 bill like I'm trying to solve a century old puzzle. The LC9, pyramid, one world government, Masonic symbols, implications, Latin words, even the words we found refreshed added in 1965, all of it. I'm a big fan of just Google U.S. dollar and you will find almost every interpretation that, since I don't know what's true, I tend to believe all of them for fun that way. If you think this is all hogwash and there is no beef back to the $1 bill, that's true. So, of course, I was more than excited when the $100 bill was finally found and it had all that gold on it. I admit that I am slightly biased on it. One of the central themes of my work at the Rose of the Letter is that there is a group of people working on the and return the United States back to the standards. For those unfamiliar with this concept, they were invited to read or listen to the Rose of the Theory found on the RoseOfLittle.com website. A subscriber said to the author Joe that the new $100 bill was special when it finally got released, and he wasn't lying. The long bill. Check out how it turns gold to life. Okay, so it may be a coincidence, and I may have an overactive bad day, but bear with me while we explore further. Take a real close look at the detail. Keep in mind that the United States has a special interest in their bill, and there's a real possibility of a currency crash with the return of gold standards in the very near future. Let's start with the most glaring thing. Other colored bills that huge stripe down to the right hand. For those not familiar with the features of the American flag colors, red symbolizes strength and valor, white symbolizes security and innocence, and blue represents its purpose and justice. Is it possible that the big blue stripe may have more than you might expect? When it comes to monetary theory, there are really only two serious camps. The first believes the odds are incremental. And the second belief is not charged backed by gold. Let's see two opposing ideologies are from the ship. Look closely at the left side of the stripe. Let's say the left side represents the outcome. There is no stone dog. Same old strategy. Same old outcome. It's all there. The word federal reserve note. The official said scale. Oh, looks like the U.S. Treasury Secretary signature pencil. From the right to the left side on the currency that there would be put in. And for you currency buffs, even bigger strength of on the left of the stripe with that physical experience wide graph. Well, not many know it, but Ben Franklin was a big supporter of the money. Don't get me wrong, he was a great
all of us working at home on global standards. So pray for you that the overseas trade would be no personal money for the colony if that's the best possible fit. It was probably the true cause of the American Revolution. Truthfully, in 5 times, right, all the United States books tell the world the real story. The American Revolution was actually a rebellion against slavery. That. You can see that everything on the left side of the $200 bill relates to the outcome. Now let's look at the right side of that subscribe, the vigilance, appearance, and justice side. Oh my goodness! Gold galore, a gold bell, gold feather pan, gold 100, gold watermark, gold writing in the background, gold line 4776. There's even a huge gold 100 on the back of the right side. The right side of this bill is so full of gold, it will probably be proof when you have it right here. Here's my take on all of the gold symbolism in the United States that belongs to the current gold standard. That's my gold inkwell symbolizes the power of progress. The past laws and the stuff of the pen. The gold liberty bell with the inkwell symbolizes confidence and liberty. Right laws of the first day called Franklin on the United States. Notice the words, this tells the people's leaders for all this of the arthritis and also from the left to the right side or the gold standard side. Notice how the color of the 100 on the bottom front changes from green to gold. Still not intense? And now my favorite. Look at the right side of the 100 on the right. Yet, the people called for more calling special. That, my friend, has expressed from our Declaration of Independence and says the following, quote, that whenever any foreign government has discovered these stands, it is the right of the people to call for more and to establish government, laying foundation on such principles and organizing powers in such form as themselves being most likely to affect their safety. Quote, has there ever been a loved one that has been alter or abolish our government? Can they make it more obvious get ready for a gold standard? The odd fact that the United States Treasury chose to anti-competitive dollar bill last very long. The United States $100 bill is both counter bill is a worldwide star. So much so that the state bills even have their own thing, the dollar or the new 100 were going to be released on February 10, 2011, but the Federal Reserve announced a delay due to production problems. Why wait so long? The article references a video where it sure looks like they are in full production already. What's the solution of the content? Great. Uh-oh. I hope of the credit crisis, then we can put a crap as a return to the credit. But I will say,
I can see my own face.
This video was brought to you by a donation from Jonathan, who wanted to know if there was a cover up and murder case. That's because I have the king's soul, but the pioneer and music industry. He was one of the first musicians in his company, manufacturing back in Texas. That's always been a white down step. Everything stayed perfect. And unfortunately, all right, so let's take a look at why they kill Sam Cooke. This first section I want to speak about Sam being a pioneer. So Sam Cooke was a gospel singer. He left gospel music because many was secular music. Sam wanted to make it big and then come back and bring more gospel singers to secular music. Sam is commonly known as the King of Soul. Not only was Sam a great singer, he was a hit songwriter. Sam had 29 consecutive top 40 hits between 1957 and 1964. From the hit song Send Me, which was number one in both the U.S. pop and R&B charts, Wonderful World, Chain Gang, Twisted the Night Away, Change Gonna Come, and Bring It On Home to Me, and many more. One day at a barbershop in Los Angeles, Matt Donald thought Sam was crazy when he asked never thought about owning his own music, copyright, and catalog. Sam started his own recording company, Tracy LTD, named after his daughter, manufacture and package his recording. Now let's get into the section on personality and background. Sam Cooke started a lot about black history with Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X. Sam would purchase black history books passed down to black kids in the neighborhood. Sam was not afraid to fight. Sam had a big heart and didn't forget where he came from. Sam got around and had a lot of women and ran many church girls. I was talking about the official story of how Sam died. All right, let's take a look at the official story of Sam Cooke's death. Sam died at the age of 33 on February 11th, 1964, at the Hacienda Hotel at 9437 South Thoreau Street, Los Angeles, California. Motel Senator Evelyn Clark say that she had been on the telephone to ask the title of the incident. Contact that will serve intrusion at the ensuing conflict and gunshot. She called the police to request the officers to tell the shooting had occurred. A coroner's inquest police investigate the incident. The woman for the company to the motel was identified as Alicia Foyer, but also called police that night shortly before her had. Foyer had called the telephone near the hotel, telling them she had just escaped being kidnapped. Foyer told the police that she had first met Cook earlier that night and had spent the evening in his company. She claimed that after they left the local nightclub,